Raised Rowdy.
Well, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast.
Hey, thank you. Oh, wow. My name is Kurt Ozon.
And we have our special guest, Mr. Grant Gilbert.
GG.
We're here.
G-Unit.
G-G-G unit.
Is your hat for G?
It's for the Homestead Grays.
Yeah.
The old baseball team.
Actually, they're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm from.
I didn't know that. Is Homestead Pittsburgh? What's Homestead?
Homestead is an area of Pittsburgh.
And an area of Miami also.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I see you have a Mike Ryan shirt on. I got to tell a Mike Ryan story. Love Mike.
Same. I love Mike.
Great singer. We saw him at, what's that club? Come on.
The one, Exidin.
Exidin.
Twice. Yeah, I've seen him there twice.
Same. Great guys. They were on the road with us one time. I don't know if I told the story or not on the podcast, but Tyler, our guitar player, was sitting in Luke's green room during the day, and he was like working on a cover song or something, and Mike and the guys like walked in to Luke's green room, personal green room, and like made a drink at the bar cart, and there's supposed to be security out there, and there wasn't. And he was like, "Hey, what are you guys doing in here?" And they're like, he's like, "Hey, I'm Mike Ryan." And he was like, "Okay, like what's going on?" And they're like, "Oh, we're just getting a drink." I'm like, "Okay." So Tyler tells security guy Ken, and he's like, "That happened." And Ken got furious that they went in the green room, basically grabbed him by the ear, threw him on the bus, and pulled all their like lanyards and stuff.
Oh, wow. Dang.
Yeah, I guess they thought it was like a open bar room or something, but it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For going to what, the headliner's green room and getting drinks?
Yeah.
Miscommunication. It'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah, but I've seen them since then. They're like, "Dude, I don't know. I'm sorry." I'm like, "That's fine with me." Yeah.
Well, here's what I'll say about Mike Ryan. That's a singing mofo right there.
Yeah, dude. He can sing.
No doubt, bro. And you can sing, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Try to,
Yeah, you sound great, man.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for hopping on the pod, brother.
Yeah, thank y'all for having me.
Oh, of course.
Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Pretty timely, too. This will come out in a little bit, but just had a new release this week.
Yeah. Bad Reputation.
Sick.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. Put it out with Hudson Westbrook.
Yeah.
And we've been on tour with him, I guess, all of January, February, March. And I don't know, we wrote the song back in December and decided to put it out. So it's been good.
You guys have been homies for a while, right?
Yeah. I guess I met Hudson. I've known his brothers and sisters for a long time. And then I met Hudson probably... I just started playing guitar. I played his sister's like high school graduation party, you know, and he's a little kid then. And,
yeah. So you're all from the same hometown?
Yeah, he's from like 20 minutes from where I'm from. I'm from San Antonio. He's from Stephenville. So
sick.
Yeah, been around a while.
So you guys wrote the song. How long from writing to release?
4 months, probably.
We said December. Yeah,
yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, 4 months. Yeah, quick.
Yeah.
It always feels slow though. You know, a song even never feels months. Like it comes out fast.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's faster than most, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the music industry is all just hurry up and wait, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
By the time a song comes out, half the time you're like, oh, I'm ready.
Yeah, let's get another one.
Yeah.
That's one of the themes that we hear from podcasts is everyone's like, yeah, but wait to hear the next stuff. You know, everyone's always ready for like.
And then when that comes out, they're like, you know.
Wait for the next.
Yeah.
But that's cool, though. It's like, it's what you're working on at the time. And, you know, as an artist, you're probably always constantly trying to move the needle and develop and, you know, craft the story and the sounds.
So. Yeah. And I think as an artist, like, you're always changing, too. Like, what you love at the moment, too. Yeah. Like, even when we're talking about music, you know, it's like, I don't like rap music, but when I'm in the mood, I like rap music, you know.
Yeah.
So some songs you write, you're like, I don't like that song that much. And then. Change your mind, it'll come around. It comes around on you.
Yeah.
I've heard stories of artists where they're like, they throw a song on a record just as an afterthought, and it ends up being the biggest song on the record. Sometimes, you know, that's how Kelly was with Small Town Hypocrite. It was just like, that song's okay, and then end up being like the one that people love the most.
Yeah, it's crazy how that works.
I mean, you never know what's going to connect with people. I think, and I don't know. I guess you can chase hits or whatever, but you might as well do what you like, see if it catches, because. I think the whole industry is changing 24/7.
It is. That's 100% it. And honestly, like a guy from Texas like you, like the guys that have kind of paved the way have always been doing it their way. Yeah, that's the Texas way, man. It's like, do what you feel in your heart.
Yeah, and like I feel like the music industry for me, like when I started playing guitar, it's because I wanted to play shows and tour and, you know, played bar gigs in high school that I... And I thought that was how you like started. You got to get out and play shows and make fans and do this. And now it's like, you know, they're like, well, you get on TikTok, I guess.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
It's a little bit curse
rolling his eyes.
Well,
but like, I felt like playing shows is the core of music, and but I mean,
yeah,
I guess it
absolutely.
I think that's what drives it.
It is,
but
and I think
it's
it
always changing.
Will be. Yeah. The thing with social media is that's like a catalyst to get more people to the show.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
But you still got to keep them there with the show.
Yes. And that's what's been really impressive to see some people like be able to convert.
Yeah.
You know, the fans from online to shows. And
yeah.
It's crazy. You never know.
It is cool. So when did you like really start performing out? Like how old were you?
I was probably got my driver's license and all my friends were mowing grass and I could play the guitar. So started playing like the Fuzzy's Taco Shops. I was on like the Fuzzy's Taco Shop circuit, you know, back in Texas.
And, yeah.
Then went to school at Texas Tech, and my roommate, who was from Santo, we kind of started a band, started filling up little venues around Lubbock and kind of selling out the Blue Light and stuff. And
cool.
Kind of that kind of got us on the road and got it going and kind of haven't looked back from there. So, yeah.
What are your like heroes growing up?
Probably my heroes, probably like Randy Rogers Band, that were big ones, Turnpike Troubadours, but I love like
Red Dirt stuff.
Yeah, but like Earl Thomas Conley, I love that, and Gary Stewart, and I really didn't know much of anything that was going on in Nashville until like I got here, really, you know? I feel like in Texas, you're so disconnected from everything, you know?
We always say like Texas is this whole different world.
Mm-hmm.
You can live in the confines of that and make an incredible living and have an incredible fan base, or you could venture out and play way less people probably than you play to in Texas and try to grow it that way.
Texas is just a totally different thing. I mean, the stuff I try to listen to what my friends listen to there because I feel like they have such a pulse. Once you're like in the industry, I feel like it's hard to keep a pulse on what people are truly listening to. Kind of, I feel like here you can kind of get told what's cool or what's popular and like, you go home and you hear what they're really listening to. And it's kind of try to keep my finger on the pulse. It's hard, but
I talk about that all the time, kind of like with what we do. My best resources are my friends that love music as much as I do and the stuff that they dig. Like a band, Fox and V, that's like a rock act, country act from North Carolina. My buddy Will is who told me about them. You know, and it's like just having friends that share music with you is so cool, and it's kind of like the basis of what Raise Rowdy is. But dude, the best people are the people who's, you know, they like good music and they know you like good music and you share it with each other.
One of my buddies kind of has we've been going at it, I think, since like Sturgill Simpson, to see who shows each other like the next big thing first, you know, so we try to keep score of that. But I mean, they're like my buddies that like work construction or just do the regular in and out jobs, blue collar stuff. Like they listen to good music and they know what they know what's popular before I do, even being here, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, especially in that Texas scene, if you're traveling a lot because you're on the road playing shows and coming and hanging in Nashville some of the time as well. Like,
yeah.
It's like you are doing the thing, so you can't go on the weekends to see all those shows. You're playing shows.
It's hard to get out to shows when you're always going to shows, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good problem to have, I'll tell you that. But, it just means you just need more resources and more friends that are still paying attention.
More friends to help us keep an eye on the ball. But no, it's been good. I mean, so I started doing that like in college, and I guess COVID hit, and I was like, right before I was like, we're gonna make music, it's gonna happen, you know. And then COVID started, and then I was like, oh, never mind, that's not gonna happen.
Maybe one year.
Maybe and then so I started working construction for one of my buddies' dads.
That's what Corey Kent did too. It's funny.
And so I met Corey right before COVID, and back when he was Corey Kent White, I guess we were writing some songs together. I just started coming up here, and he was like, I'm gonna go back to Texas, you know, whatever. I was like, all right, what, you know? And so I guess we kind of kept writing through COVID, and when I wasn't working construction, I would, you know, try to Zoom write with Corey, or like I was always writing with Brad Clausen back then. And Corey and I wrote Ain't My Day that he cut and put out with Colby Cooper over Zoom with Jack Hummel. Yeah. And so that was fun. But over COVID, I was just working construction. Like, I had my hard hat on. And right before, we had sent a song to Texas Radio. And we were doing this, like, homeless cleanup. Like, I had a pitchfork. And there was, under all these we were working for Encore Electric, and so there's all these power lines, you know, and you can't have a house or a business under them or anything. Mm-hmm. And so it'd just be like homeless camps and under there. And so they hired us to come in and clear it out because they were going to clear the trees and the brush out. And so we were in there out of pitchfork, just like picking up homeless people's stuff. We had the truck radio going.
Weird gig.
Yeah. And my song came on Texas radio, and I had my hard hat on just picking up homeless cleanup. And I was like, yeah, this is what you always dreamed about, you know?
That's blue collar though, man. I mean,
yeah.
That's the real stuff.
It's real. So, I mean, I'm glad to be able to be on this side of it and still be making music. That'd be the end of it. So
it's crazy. COVID was such a weird time, but I mean, so many blessings mm-hmm. for so many people and so many not blessings for so many people.
Yeah, a lot more not blessings.
Yeah.
I am very happy. This is a hot take. I'm very happy that it's not COVID anymore.
Same.
Because now it's like your touring's wide open.
Yeah.
What? I mean, are you touring full band out with those guys? Or?
Yeah, we've been doing full band. I mean, just in the band van.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Grinding it out, you know? Yeah. That's what you always wanted to do. So.
Yeah.
So it's pretty glorious.
Who's in the band? Tell us who's in the band. I'm a band guy, so I want to know about the band.
I got a Gunner Driver on the drums. He's from Lubbock. And David Strawn playing electric guitar. Mm-hmm. And then Morgan Baker. He's from my same hometown. And
playing bass?
I don't even want to say it. You have to crop this out. Running bass tracks.
Well,
hey, it happens.
It'd be like that on them little jobs.
On the little jobs, it'd be
so
like
what,
that.
What is the other guy play then?
Two electric guitars.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. And do you play acoustic on stage too? Yeah.
So yeah, we're on the support shows. I mean, they still pay like it's what, 1985.
I know, I know, bro. I know all about it.
They raised the rate one time in '96, and ever since.
I remember like when we got a new production manager with Luke, or not a new one, but we got a production manager. He was like, "Your guys' per diem is $25 a day," and I was like. Where we're like, yeah, it's like, that's what it was when I started touring in the 90s. Oh, shit. So then it went up, you know.
$50 now.
Yeah,
now we got it.
It's tough out there, man.
It's crazy. Look,
there's some shade to be thrown for tracks, and then I think there's excuses, and things are fine. I'm not a purist in certain ways. If I'm going to, you know, like a pop country act, I'm like, you know, a pop concert, you're going to expect some tracks, you know. We're lucky with Luke because we've got 7 guys in the band. We don't need tracks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's like when money's tight, I get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One day when you've got, you know, fiddle player and bass player and all this money flying everywhere, then it won't be a thing. You can get Jaco Pastorius to play bass or whoever, you know what I mean? That's just how it is sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather be able to pay everybody an extra $100 a person than have...
Yep.
Or like bring a merch guy out who's gonna or a tour manager or whatever.
Yeah, but on sports shows you're like, hey, like go when the people that buy a t-shirt, that really does make a difference. That puts gas in the tank for bands to get up and down the road. And I don't know if people realize how important that is, you know, to go listen to music.
What's one thing that a fan can do that would really support your music?
For sure buying t-shirts, coming out to the shows and buying the $15 tickets.
Yeah.
You know, when we're at your local venue.
I had the most blessed experience recently. I texted Nick about it. I was at a show in North Carolina. It was the Stephen Wilson Jr. and Kayla Hammock show. And I was hanging out and I went to the bar and I bought a beer. And, you know, these shows are not their Live Nation ticketed, expensive Ticketmaster shows. Cheap cover. Then I went to buy a beer and it was $4 at a concert. I was like, I texted Nick, I'm like, the beer at this venue is basically free. Like, the value for dollar that you can get by going to a club show is insane.
Yeah.
And then you just have so much more money to buy merch. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. And it's like, you can get closer to the stage. I love a good club show, man.
Yeah.
It made me miss it. I miss playing the Dusty Armadillo or whatever. You know?
What do they call it? The adjective noun tour? You know, the Dusty Armadillo.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
I'm sure there's a lot of adjective downs in the Texas scene for sure,
you got
the blue light.
Yeah.
The blue light. I can't even think of them all, but we've played pretty much all of them. If there's an adjective noun venue to be played, we've hit it for sure.
How many days, like in an average year, would you say you guys are getting right now?
I don't know. It's been up and down. I'd say we're probably like 70. Yeah,
that's
probably 60, 70
that's
a year.
That's such a good amount.
So
it feels like a lot more when you're not on a bus. I will say
it does.
When you're 8 a.m., 9 a.m. hotel lobby call kind of thing, as opposed to just sleeping on the bus. But that's a sweet spot for me. I feel like that 70 days where it's like anything more, it's like you start getting tired.
Yeah, I mean, I always like to be the one to drive the van too. Like,
well, you're too young to get tired now.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I always like to drive the van. I mean, my band, they all live in Lubbock, so that's not close to anywhere, you know.
Not at all.
I don't know if you've been to Lubbock lately, but mm-hmm. it's far out. And
west of Fort Worth, I think.
Right? And some, yeah. But they always drive in, and they always want to drive through the night. A couple of them always want to be back on Sundays for church gigs. And so I always take the midnight to 7 a.m. shift to get back to my house or to wherever they drop their vehicle off. And so it's been pretty glorious. We were driving back from Kentucky, from Lexington, Kentucky. And I think we stopped for gas in Nashville. Now somewhere between Memphis and Nashville. And I've been drinking coffee and I couldn't, like, you're like, I just stopped. I'm not stopping again. And so I had my Gatorade bottle, and if you've been on the road, you know to use Gatorade bottles, you know.
Wide mouth bottle.
They're easier to pee in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I was driving.
Boy tour.
Tour tip one, get Gatorade bottles. Van urinals. But I've been driving, and I was like, I'm not stopping. I just got coffee. And I was like, okay, set the cruise. I'm driving. We got this. We're cruising. All right, I'm going to pee. And just, I didn't. I missed the bomb.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah!
So we had to.
Oh, boy.
Then you really had to pull.
Yeah, it was snowing, and like their flights got canceled out of Nashville, so we had to drive back to Lubbock, and so I had like some wet sweatpants and a driver's seat for all.
Oh, that's funny. Isn't
that's haggard, bro. I love it.
Welcome to the road.
That's it, man.
Yeah. So
everybody,
please buy a T-shirt, guys. Yeah. Buy a
if y'all could buy a T-shirt, we could maybe
get some flights or something.
Yeah, or some better bottles to pee in or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Like trucker piss jugs.
Yeah. Some triple wide mouth bottles.
Hey, we need it.
That's so funny.
Kids these days. I love it, man. There's something so romantic about it, just fucking in the grind, you know?
Yeah.
I think that
you and the boys.
It's easy to say, like, when you're on the other side of it, you know, when mm-hmm. you've got the flights or the hotel rooms or by yourself or whatever, or on the bus. But it's like, these are
big bunks.
Take a lot of photos, man. That's all I'm saying.
I was some things like, you can't, don't even be taking pictures of too.
Yeah, don't take, not like fucking piss jugs everywhere. But but it's like, I look back at my camera roll. It's like all the photos, like from when I first started touring with like Holmes, like in 2017. And it's like, I wish I took more photos.
Yeah.
And that was before I really got into photography. I mean, you got Trey take photos for you also, but it's just like mm-hmm. the little candid Trey's moments that like are like, you know, people sleeping in the van or whatever, just all those crazy moments. Yeah. It's cool.
It's a good time. I mean, it's always fun. I mean, but when you're in that close confines, you can bump heads. And I mean, but I got a good group of guys and they keep it fun. So I always appreciate it.
You're the boss. So you just be like, no, dude, I'm right. And they're like, okay.
They're like, that's true. No, it's, I talk about this, and on my side, it's funny because, you know, we don't tour, but we kind of tour. We had Trey with us.
Y'all road dog it. I saw pictures of y'all.
Auburn Rodeo. Dude.
Trey had his shirt off for
the
whole time.
Yeah. I was going to say, have you ever had him shoot? If he shot with a shirt on, you should pay him half rate.
Trey, take your shirt off right now.
No, but man, it's bonding. And yeah, you butt heads. You're brothers.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it works.
No, I mean, we've all been playing together for, I guess, a couple years now. So, I mean, we're pretty close.
Yeah.
So, it's a good time. So,
no, that's what it's about.
I mean, you got to have a special group to go up and down the road and, you know, play the awesome show opening up for somebody. And then the one on the way back home on Saturday night for
a 4-hour cover gig or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, or for, you know, 150 people for, you know, and middle of nowhere, Oklahoma or whatever it might be, you know?
Yep. And happy to have the gig to get back.
Exactly. It puts gas in the tank.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Yeah.
Got to roll with it.
Well, Kurt also mentioned a title of a song, in his
the song's a smash
snarky comment.
Yeah, dude.
West of Fort Worth.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
With Corey Hunt.
Yeah, West of Fort Worth. Corey Hunt. He's pretty all right.
Yeah, we like him.
Dude, at the instruments.
When that song came out. You know, when you're a kid, I mean, you still do this now. I listened to that song like 10 times in a row. I was on a run, and I was like, let me listen to this. And I was like, that's great. And I just did it for like a 45 minute run. I just listened to it like over and over again. Dude, it's fucking awesome.
And I appreciate it. I love, I mean,
what a smash, dude.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to spread this, the word to the people out there.
Yeah.
Know? But no, I mean, wrote that with Corey, Barrett Baber, and Dan Alley.
That's
I don't know
right,
if y'all know Dan Alley, but.
Gang, we love Dan Alley.
Yeah. I'll sit there and listen to Dan Alley work tapes on my phone for hours just to listen to him.
That's how we were like on the bus list with like Randy Montana work tapes.
Mm. Oh, dude. Weird enough, a long time ago before y'all cut Where the Wild Things Are, I heard that demo.
Same. We used to listen on the bus all the time.
I begged and begged to cut that song. Yeah. And I mean, but then y'all did it. Thank God.
You know, what's fun? And also the, that song Boys, that Muscadine ended up so cutting good. It. Mm. I was like, Luke's got to cut this. But this was before he was
cutting.
Yeah. That song's a smash too.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about the radio show. We played Boys on the radio.
Yeah.
For Muscadine. And we played Dan Alley's first debut single on the radio too.
Hey, I mean, Dan Alley is so good. And he's on fire right now. Just writing. So I mean.
Yeah. He's got a Grant Gilbert cut, I heard.
Yeah. I was paying pretty big. I know.
Yeah.
But,
Dude, that song is honestly really great. And I think if you're listening to this podcast, they're probably already fans of yours. But if you're not, just because of Nick and I, just for whatever reason, listen to that song. It's so good. Mm-hmm. What else do you want? It's a country song. It's so good.
It's got pedal steel.
Yeah, dude. And your voice on it's awesome, man.
So man, good. I appreciate it. Yeah.
And my bandmate and ultimate lifelong friend, Corey Hunt, is a writer on it.
Yeah.
So what else do you want?
I love writing with Corey, too. He's been, I mean, we've written a couple songs together. I mean, every time it's been Dan and I think Corey on it. And it's
Dream
just
team,
been
bro.
Great. Like, there's harmony.
Yeah.
But yeah, that West Fort Worth, I think it's got to be one of my favorites that I've written just because. I'm from West Fort Worth, too. So it's just like, I don't know, because it's from a small town. You know, somebody asks where you're from, you got to tell them. You're like the big city you live by, so they know where it is. So I'm like, I'm West Fort Worth, you know. But now I just kind of feel dumb when somebody asks me where I'm from because now I feel like I'm just plugging myself.
Plug
Whatever,
yourself.
Dude. Every cat in Georgia's got their song about their hometown and singing about Georgia all the time.
And Alabama, too.
It
kind of
makes
baby.
You not like Georgia after hearing about it so much.
My mom's from Georgia. I love me some Georgia. My brother lives in Fort Worth, actually.
Yeah,
East of Fort Worth. No, I'm just kidding. But he lives in Fort Worth.
It'd be cool if it's west.
Yeah.
Fort Worth, that's kind of a home base. Like, I'm just a little bit west of there, but I don't know if y'all have ever been to Joe T. Garcia's in Fort Worth.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is my favorite restaurant in the world.
I don't blame you, brother. I just drink margaritas, though, but it's so sick. I went with Keller.
Oh, I love
You know Keller Cox?
Yeah, we met. Yeah. I know him. I know his music. I think I've only shook his hand maybe one time. I don't know why we never see each other in the same circle.
I'll put you guys in a text after this thing. He's a good boy. We love Keller.
Yeah, he's an angel.
Yeah, he's a podcast alumni.
If you haven't been to Joe T's, though, that's a spot to get some margaritas. I partook last Friday, and last Saturday was bad. So
But the atmosphere there is so pure Texas. I love it. It's great. You're from San Antonio, right? You're saying from San Antonio?
Santo.
Oh. That's west of Fort Worth.
That's west of Fort Worth. S-A-N-T-O,
Yeah, Santo.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So. Okay, well, there goes my whole San Antonio spiel. But
what was your San Antonio spiel?
I don't know. Alamo, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, just
Forest Country Store, that's down there.
Yeah.
I remember the Alamo.
Yeah. There you go. shit. I love Texas, man. What a vibe down there. What was I there for recently? The Flatland something show or a wedding. I went to a wedding there, I think it was.
Mm.
It was Blake's. My buddy got married in Fort Worth. And Cleto sang at his wedding, which was sick.
So when I got to Texas Tech, I think Cleto was like a senior. Like they had just put out that Come May EP.
Yeah.
I was like such a fan.
Same.
Dude, I remember, I think I was friends with him on Facebook and he posted an acoustic video and he just written A Life Where We Work Out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, are you going to release that? And he's like, yeah, dude, I think I'm going to. And then, I mean, it popped off.
The whole thing
It's done all right for him.
Isn't it funny when you're like Facebook friends with like famous people? Like it's just like somewhere there's like, I think Luke had to delete his old Facebook account, but it's like probably floating around somewhere.
Yeah.
Like this weird like homage to his like pre-famous life.
Yeah.
You know?
It's an interesting thing.
Yeah. That's what it was for him. I mean, he's just, he was just writing songs in Lubbock and kind of getting going. I guess it was Lubbock Facebook friends, you know.
There you go.
Because I went to school at Texas Tech. So.
Which I always get my Texas colleges messed up. Aggies?
That's Texas A&M. Aggies.
A&M.
Which one's Tech?
The Red Raiders.
Is that where the Yell Leaders are?
No, that's A&M.
That's College Station.
Yeah, that's College Station.
Island College Station. Them boys are good to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's too confusing. I can't figure it out. It's too big out there. There's too many colleges.
Lots of country, lots of college, lots of great country music.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of nothing, too. Like, if you go, like...
West of Fort Worth.
If you go west of Fort Worth.
You get West Texas in your
eye. I hope it's worth your while.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love it. I love it out there.
Hell yeah. So, are you guys still touring right now?
Yeah, we just... I guess we kind of have a break on some of these Hudson shows, and we go back out in May, and just doing a little bit of headline stuff here in April, and I guess in June, kind of gets to be rodeo season, you know, get to play all the rodeos, kind of do that thing, get dirt all in your
gear
everywhere, yeah.
And the caster wheels with the amp case and everything.
Yeah, yeah. You pushed a road case through some rodeo rooms.
Yeah.
So that's pretty fun. So looking forward to it.
We were at Auburn Rodeo this weekend, and that's not like a real rodeo, you know, but you still get the good smells from the rodeo.
There's a lot of good smells at a rodeo,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it makes it special.
Cold beer mixed with stuff that doesn't smell as good as cold beer.
Yeah, manure, yeah. are you playing in Nashville anytime soon?
Maybe in the summer, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Have you done Knicks rounds at all? Or
it's been a minute.
It's been a while.
I think.
Maybe we'll get
maybe
you back
once
on.
I've done it. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe you'll play for Nick's round sometime.
I don't know. Only if Kurt comes to watch.
You could agree to it right now on the podcast.
Only if Kurt brings a dobro.
Oh, I'm down. Okay. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Okay.
But if Corey Hunt sings the high harmony, though.
Can you put Corey on my round?
Yes.
When we do it?
We'll call Corey. We'll make that happen.
And Julie Kate. Fuck it. Why not?
And Dan Alley.
Oh
yeah, and see, Dan Alley.
Now we got it playing. So
it's getting expensive now.
Oh, I didn't know it paid.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, we'll give you a Surfside though. Yeah.
Surfside.
Surfside vodka lemonades.
Yeah.
Vodka iced tea.
At the round, don't you give a free?
Oh yeah, free Surfside. I'll bring your Crown Head cigar too.
Okay.
If you're a cigar guy.
I'm not a cigar guy, but
we can teach you.
Okay.
His voice it might be too good to speak.
That's true. Yeah. We don't want to ruin it.
I wonder if cigarettes would make it sound really good.
I think you got a little of that cigarette sound in you already. Yeah. Cigs are bad.
Might be Ryan Bingham if we keep going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? Those are the cowboy killers he smokes.
Yeah, they're Marlboro Reds.
Yeah.
That I mean, I love his voice, but it sounds like it hurts.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, probably that sounds painful.
Yeah. Oh. I remember the first time I saw his, like, full show was at a theater in Pennsylvania, and it was the first show I ever noticed how good the lighting was.
Dang.
The lighting he has at his shows is wild.
Bro, go to a jam band show.
Yeah.
That's like most of the budget.
I don't think I've been to a jam band show before.
Me neither, but I went and played with the jam band recently, and I was watching some of the earlier songs. I'm like, this lighting guy's got it fucking dialed. Because they're all like, all the fans are like, you know. Yeah, the wacky inflatable tube man or whatever.
Having the best time ever.
Dude, my first show was a Jerry Jeff Walker show. Back in the day at Green Hall. I don't know if any of y'all are Jerry Jeff Walker fans, but
I don't know.
I mean,
if you're a Texas guy, you know Jerry Jeff Walker.
Yeah.
Mr. Bojangles.
Yeah. I know George Strait.
Yeah. That's a different kind of Texas guy.
I still never seen George Strait.
Me neither, honestly.
I want to.
It's on my to-do list.
Him and Stapleton were touring together, and I toyed with the idea of using one of my favors to get a comp or whatever and flying out, and it was just like, I couldn't get it lined up with our touring schedule, but... Yeah. I feel like that would be so sick.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be a bucket list show.
Yeah. We were at NFR this year, and George was out there, but the tickets were wild.
Bro, I looked into buying them too. I'm like, it's a lot of money.
I like George, and I cannot wait to see him because I've had a couple opportunities. It just didn't work out. But, man, I don't think I could spend a G on it.
George Strait or Garth Brooks?
I've seen Garth before, and it was... When he did the solo acoustic thing, and he does this thing where it's kind of like half theater or half like concert. I don't know. It's like kind of a show. And I thought it was going to be good because you hear the rumors about how good Garth is live. I've never seen him full band. And just acoustic, it was fucking great.
He's really good live.
Really? Yeah. Dude, Garth is an entertainer.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. He's funny. It's heartfelt. He sings his ass off. Trisha comes out and they sing together, and it's just like, and it's just acoustic. It's so entertaining.
Wow. Well, full band is very entertaining too, and he's all over stage. That's why he has that little mic.
When I was a little kid, like we were playing some bar gig, and I don't remember the guy's name. He used to play pedal steel for Garth Brooks.
Oh, Bruce Bowden?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. That's the only guy I know that has ever played for Garth.
Really?
Well, I mean, Garth's had a few different players, but the only one I know personally
Okay. It was somebody from back in the 90s, back before he took his hiatus, I guess, or whatever. And that guy came and played pedal steel in like my little bar band in high school, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
That's amazing.
He's just shredding while all of us were just hitting Z notes all over the place, you know?
Bro, I'm not that good at steel, but I hope to be able to do stuff like that too. Like when I'm old and just pop into bars and drink some beers and jam.
I like to try to make Kurt, when he's willing to come out, just play a whole night, and then I just feed him beers.
Bro. I love it. Nick put me on a round one time, and it was like Will Jones and like Zach Top and May Estes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, sorry. I was not familiar with your game guitar-wise, Will Jones and Zach. And I was just like, fuck, these guys are good.
They are.
Dude, yeah. That's a tough group to jump in and play guitar with. I mean,
it was fun.
It was awesome.
I used to always watch Will, I guess Will, when he was doing, what do they call themselves? The Bud Light or Bush Light Trio.
Yeah.
We go to Scoreboard and watch them. Bro. They were crazy.
How long have you been in Nashville?
I've been coming up here probably like 4 years, probably.
Yeah.
So
that version of them with Will, his voice and that lead
crazy
guitar.
Crazy good.
God, it's hot.
He fucking rips on acoustic guitar, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. Sick.
It's so bluegrass driven too.
Yes, 100%.
Right? Where's he from?
I'm going to make this up because I don't know Kentucky.
It's got to be Kentucky. Well,
that's completely made up.
Well, he's a Virginia Tech fan. I know that. So maybe Virginia?
Is there bluegrass in Virginia?
Matt had him on his pod, but they did it on the back deck at my house.
Check it out.
Yeah, we were recording the pod. And they smoked cigars on it. I was pretty jealous, honestly.
What are we doing? We should be smoking cigars.
I know. Mitch would probably kill us, but...
Yeah, that's fine. That's
I'd be hacking over here.
Yeah, that's true. We would teach you how to smoke cigars. Okay.
Be like your dad. Like, yeah. There you go.
All right, son.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. You don't inhale.
Yeah, that's true. One day when we're like mega podcast rich, we could do that. Like, because like fucking Joe Rogan has like Elon there smoking weed on TV in there. We could smoke cigars.
Yeah. Well, if we ever host a pod at the Duck Blind, I think they'll let us smoke cigars in there.
Fuck off, really?
Yeah, dude.
Okay, that's sick.
Buff you on.
Sorry, this is Insider Talk.
Insider Talk with a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got any more music lined up ready in the canon or working on anything?
Yeah, we got a EP coming out in May. So.
That's sick.
Is there a release date?
Sorry. No, but I think it's May 30th.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, we're getting ready to get, I don't know, I guess I haven't talked about it, but we always play Here for the Party by Gretchen Wilson.
Yeah.
Live at shows.
Mm-hmm. And, that's sick. I love dudes covering chick country shit.
Too. We're going to put it on the EP, I think.
Oh,
I think
cool.
Party cover, so.
That song's such a banger,
I think
too.
It'd be pretty ripping, too. Yeah.
I love that, too. I love any cover that you don't expect to be the cover that the person plays.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun, I hope.
No, it'll be badass.
Yeah. I do.
And it'll rock.
It'll rock. You know, I mean, we've been playing it live. Like, it's just been, people love it. And so I think it'll be good for the EP. We'll see.
I remember seeing Sam Hunt and he played Strawberry Wine. And I was like, this is great.
Oh, like, so good.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, his version might be my favorite version, which
I haven't heard
crazy.
His version.
Yeah.
Very good. Who's doing your production?
Lucas Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all know him. He's a newer guy, but.
I saw him on your credits, but I don't know.
Did he do West of Fort Worth? Okay, then he's great.
Yeah, he did that.
Voice on that sounds great. Band sounds great.
Yeah, Lucas, he's done. He will have done this whole EP, so it's been great working with him. And then the last one, Jonathan Singleton did, and I love writing to work with him too. Like,
I didn't know him.
Yeah, we've had him on the pod too. Yeah,
we had him by himself, and then we had him with Logan.
Yeah, dude, Logan's a trip.
Oh, he's great. So have you written with Singleton and all that?
Yeah.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah, but I just want to sit there and be like, will you just please play Watching Airplanes?
Yeah.
On the loop, please, for me.
Yeah, Nick is the Well, Nick, tell the Singleton story about the tattoo, would you?
Oh, yeah. I got a... So, my tattoo artist, Mike Stoll, great tattoo artist. If you're an American traditional guy, he's done all my favorite work. By that, I mean pretty much all my work. And so, he's tattooed Jay a couple times as well. And so, I told Jay, I was like, I'm going to get a 58 tattoo. Because, like, this is my music arm. So, like, the stuff that means a lot to me. And they've done a lot of events with us. And honestly, I'm just a crazy big fan, not only of Jay, but also of, you know, Luke Combs and Tally, too. I don't know if you know Tally real well, but, like, I think she is one of the icons of females in the industry. Like, take no shit, tell you like it is. You know what I mean? Smart. Like, she's a maverick. Yeah. She's smart, hardworking, driven. So I'm just such a big fan of that whole collective. So I was doing my music arm, and one of our first big takeovers we did when we started our writer's round was with 58. So we did a collab piece with them, and then I told Jay, I was like, hey, I'm getting a 58 tattoo. And I got it right back there.
Got it?
Yep. And he said, no, you're not. And I was like, yeah, I am. I like, dude. Mike's doing it. He's like, if you get a 58 tattoo, I'll get a Rage Rowdy tattoo. So Jay has a Rage Rowdy tattoo like right here on his wrist.
Hey, I haven't seen it. Hey, that's cool.
Hey, you should get a tattoo of Jay's arm with a Rage Rowdy tattoo on it. It's like when you repost a story and someone reposts your repost. Yeah.
No, but man, what a songwriter.
Oh man, it's crazy.
And what a human.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of my, I think he's one of my favorite people to be around.
He's real. And he's talented.
You feel like you learn something, you feel a little bit cooler every time you leave.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I remember I was in a green room, Morgan Wallen's green room, before Morgan was like Morgan. And Jay was in there because he was out with Ashlyn Kraft, who was at 50 Egg at the time. And man, when everybody, when Morgan walked into the room, everybody would be like, but not Jay. Jay's Jay, dude. You know, like he's been there before. You know what I mean? He's like, I was like, damn, Jay is the coolest dude in this room, you know?
Yeah.
I remember we were cutting something in the studio one day, and I don't know what somebody said something about how that's going to make, you know, that'll make some money or something, or, you know? And he's like, no, it's not about the money. It's about the cool shit we're going to buy with money. Yeah. I was like, you're right. You know?
Hell yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty good.
Are you cutting, does Jay have any cuts on your EP?
This next one?
Yeah.
No.
We got to get you another date on the books. We're putting it in the world.
Bro. I have Eric Dillon over there, too. I wrote him quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the first guys
Are you at 50 Egg or no?
No, I'm at Riverhouse with publishing. And
oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's been great. I don't know if y'all know Kayla over there. She is awesome. Yeah. And yeah, I met Zeb a few years ago, and I mean, it's just kind of been kind of a home over there. So it's been great.
Good folks over there.
Well, yes.
We love Eric a lot, too. Yeah. We actually had a collab t-shirt with Eric that never came out. He actually released like one time, like he's like, can I use this design for something? Cause it was like kind of happening, but never happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And dude, one of the best writers on the planet.
He's great. I mean, I figured I was sitting in a class or sitting in the library at Texas Tech studying for a final. And I don't know if y'all have ever heard that song Fishing Alone by him. And I sent it to my mom cause I guess her and her dad loved fishing. And he died. He got cancer and passed away a few years ago. And she like said she was crying. I was like, oh, this guy's insane. I got to write with him. Yeah. And so I think it was Eric and Rob Williford was my first Nashville write.
Rowdy Rob.
That's pretty. I was just texting Rob today because when I went to Best Buy to buy that hard drive that this podcast had been recorded on. Rob used to work at Best Buy. And so I was like, hey, I'm over here. You need anything from the Geek Squad or whatever? He's like, I'm good, man.
Should have been like, hey, what aisle are hard drives on?
Yeah. I love Rob.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, I think I only wrote with him that one time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was like, this is a room, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Some talent, for sure.
Yeah.
Who are some of the people that you write with frequently?
I'm trying to think.
Dan, maybe? Or
yeah, I rob a Dan a lot. Been Barrett Baber.
Mm-hmm. I love Barrett too, man.
Bo Bailey.
Love Bo.
Yeah.
A lot of B names. Yeah. Bert. Yeah. Borkerum.
I'm trying to think who else. A little bit of everybody, I mean.
No Cletta writes yet or what?
I've never written with Cletta, so I don't know. I mean,
I'll have to talk to your publisher about that.
I know. I call him. You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I love Cleto.
He's the nicest guy I've ever seen in my whole life.
Literally. Yeah.
And just the way he talks is like he's saying poetry.
Dude, one time we were opening for Flatland and my guitar battery was going out and I don't guess I knew where their tour manager was or I don't know, whatever. But I text Cleto. I was like, hey, do you have a 9-volt battery? Or I hate to ask you, but do you have a 9-volt battery? He's like, yes, man, of course. Never be afraid to ask for anything. And I was like,
fucking homie, bro.
You're the nicest guy. Cleto. You could have said yes or no, you know? Yeah. And he's like, just nice.
Like, he's like, I got you, friend.
Yes.
He is. He is a gentle and incredibly talented soul.
Yeah.
I got some good music coming out of Texas.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good music coming out of Texas.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's cool, too. Like, I kind of stumbled into that scene, I think in, like, 2015 or so, when I found Turnpike. And then I just really went down the well and, like, found all of the, you know, the greats. Like, really? Yeah. Like, that I didn't know. And I was like, how do I think I know about music and I don't know any of this stuff? You know, I mean, in 2015.
Turnpike is what gave me the bug, I think, in the first place. Yeah. I mean, I just started playing guitar, whatever, singing, writing songs, whatever, being bad. And my friend's sister, she was a year older than me. I was friends with her. And her sister was dating Evan Felker.
Wow.
And so he was in Santo. He was in Santo just like hanging out on the back porch. And she was like, hey, come over, you know. And he was sitting around like they're just picking songs, drinking beer, and
God bless America.
Yeah, and I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Yeah, you know,
that's so sick.
He was playing like Jed Smoking Lies or something on the banjo. I don't even know if it was out yet. Like, I was a kid and I still have the video on my phone if I dug it up.
That's crazy.
Okay, well, we need to see that.
Yeah. I have my Nike ID orange shoes on from when I was in high school.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is probably like 2 years ago or like
tall Nike socks, you know, braces probably. I don't know, but I still got the picture.
That's crazy.
That's badass, man.
Well, it's defining moments, man. I mean, like for me, music, my whole family loved music, but my brother Steve, who was my oldest brother, like loved music. And so me and my brother Chaz, that's 2 years older than me, loved music, you know. Steve would put me in the back of his 82 Volkswagen Scirocco that he had like a bootleg system in and just blare Metallica and Megadeth and Queensryche and make me say which band it was. And then if I got the band right, he'd make me name the title of the song. I think that's why I love music as much as I do.
That was my dad. He'd always be listening to music and be like, who's singing? And then he'd be like, who wrote it? You know?
He'd
get the quiz,
hip.
You know? Yeah. Or like,
who wrote it?
Yeah. Damn. It'd be a Glenn Campbell song. And he'd be like, who wrote it? You got to be like, Jimmy Webb, you know.
That's deep.
He quiz you on it.
Hey, good
so,
dad.
Yeah,
and so he'll be sending me songs. He loves just that 80s. He's more of an 80s country guy. Like 90s is okay, but he loves the 80s.
80s stuff.
Yeah, so
I remember I met someone and they were like, Garth Brooks ain't country, and I was like, I've never heard anyone say that. And they're like, anything Garth Brooks or after is ain't country, and I was like, whoa, this is, it just goes deep. You know, it's like people feel that way.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Okay.
I mean, the genre right now is wildly broad.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything.
Big I think X it's fucking plug. Great.
Yeah, I like it. I like that Big X Bailey song, you know?
Yeah, it's gas.
Yeah. But at my heart, at my core, the things that I always find myself going back to are things like Turnpike, things like Childers, Sturgill.
Yeah.
Jonathan Singles 2012 record that's not on the internet anymore. Like, but having said that, like, I love new music every week.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff that comes out every week that puts a smile on my face.
See, I feel like I'm always digging back through like the old stuff.
Yeah.
Is where somebody's got to tell me about the new stuff. I'm going to go find the cool old stuff. Mm-hmm. That's where I feel
just
like
just have
I,
Nick tell you.
Yeah. I know some of it. You probably know more Texas
it.
Than me.
Yeah.
I feel like I keep up with the Texas, but I'm always like digging through like some old Gary Allen or.
Yeah.
Some trying to find a deep cut that I missed. I don't know.
Every road trip I'm on, pretty much all the Eric Dillon records.
Yeah,
that he has out. I put on for people.
Yeah, they're great.
It's like, let me teach you about this, and then I go back and old Randy Montana stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would go back and listen to the Getaway by Jonathan Singleton and his like solo record. Mm-hmm. But now I got to just go listen to The Grove, which is great too, you know? And then, man, I mean, just figuring out what the artists that you love the most now were listening to mm-hmm. is kind of cool.
See, I don't know. I feel like I love like Springsteen-y Tom Petty stuff. I love when I can hear that in country. Like the Kip Moore stuff. Yes. I love
his, I was just literally about to say the new Kip record.
Yeah.
Sick as fuck.
Very much. And like Cadillac 3. Like you hear Petty in that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, dude.
Well,
for sure.
And then I remember being a kid. Another weird story. We were driving around this lake. It was like, I don't know, I guess it was like this, it was the evening, my parents go eat Mexican food every Saturday, and so I don't know, there's this in Granbury, this big lake, so we're out driving around by the lake by the boat ramp, and do y'all remember those big CD things where you put the CDs in and flip through and figure out
CD like book, baby.
I was a little kid and I got an iPod, like I don't know, I have my iPod or whatever with the one with the wheel and somebody lost one of those out of their boat or truck or something. It was sitting at this boat ramp and my dad was like, hey, there's a CD thing. I jumped out and picked it up and I didn't know what was on it, but I just went home. It was when you have to buy them for 99 cents. Mm-hmm. So I put all these albums on my phone and I remember it was a Damn the Torpedoes by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, that record. Mm-hmm. I found that and that was just, that was gay. Yeah, I was like, what?
That's a great story.
Yeah.
If that happened in Florida, it would have been a brick of cocaine floating around, probably.
Hey, that would have been way more financially.
Yeah, it would have helped you.
Yeah, could have put me a little bit farther.
See how much money you make in the music industry thing, you know?
Yeah.
Could be the long term thing.
Hey, man, that's it. Honestly, like we talk about with Texas artists, it's like it is its own ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of fans that love supporting in the. The hit rate on merch in Texas is way higher than the hit rate on merch anywhere else. You know, it is.
Yeah. I mean, the people, like, they crave the country music. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I feel like Texas people sometimes in a way can be a little spoiled on it too. Like, there's, you know, you can go see Randy Rogers on Saturday, but 30 minutes down the road, Randall King's probably playing. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. Like,
it's nuts.
They have so much access to concerts.
Yeah.
But that was a cool thing to do in college, though, was to go to a concert. And I feel like that's such a thing that a lot of people don't have, like the small blue light venue or whatever, where the up-and-comers are coming in and out. The Red Clay Strays are playing Wednesday or something, you know, like for $5, you know?
We would chase shows at Dusty Armadillo and Jurgles and Thirsty Cowboy. But we would chase those. That's what me and my friends did. Yeah. You know, we would just get a hotel somewhere so we could drink a bunch of Jack and Cokes or whatever. And
damn, that sounds good.
Yeah, they
I mean, that's what
good.
I do this weekend, but
yeah,
I want to do it tonight.
Yeah. But it's funny, too, because I went to a lot more shows before I lived in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. But now we host shows, so it's like a different thing, you know?
Yeah.
But, man, there's something about just getting your crew.
And also, it feels a little more adventurous or special when you have a hotel to crash at.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, even if it's like, hey, I'm going to Knoxville for a night, you know, and to go see whatever. And, but then it's like, well, we got a hotel room. Might as well drink some beers, you know?
Yep. Mm.
And you're like, well, we're not going to drive 3.5 hours back. The show got out at 11. So, hell yeah.
Kurt and I went to Georgia Theater.
Perfect example. We went and saw Flatland and Colby Acuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. We're hanging out at the Waffle House till 3 a.m. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude.
Those are good nights.
Man,
great nights. Or the nights where you have a hotel but never make it back to the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those are
it's daylight and you're like, oh, crap. Where's our bags?
This would make me want to go on a vacation to see a band play.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Caverns or something. Or
I just saw Old 60 down there.
Oh, yeah. Were they in the Caverns or outside?
In it.
How was the sound?
It sounded great. Honestly, better than the other couple shows that I saw in the Caverns.
Dang.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Mm, I mean,
the homies, too.
I want to take a good vacation and go see the Killers again somewhere.
That'd be fucking great.
Like, those kind of concerts, I think, are kind of my vibe.
It's a little rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, too. Like, now that I'm in the industry, sometimes I'm almost too close to country shows.
Yeah, you kind of learn how, you know how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
So sometimes it takes the...
Well, if I drink enough of these Surfsides, I can get out of that headspace. But...
Three.
Three.
That's the number three.
Honestly, it is. Yeah. But other genres, I still don't have that. Like other genres, I would say every other genre, like rock shows, even rap shows. Like, I still feel like a fan, which is cool, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you need that.
You have to still feel like a fan to remember why you loved it in the first place. You know?
Yeah.
How often do you get out and go watch the like opener sets when y'all are out on tour?
Oh, pretty frequently.
Pretty frequently. Yeah.
It depends, of course, you know, but it's like if we're on the same tour and it's the same bands every time, I'm not watching this like same band play the same set every time.
Yeah.
Especially because it's like my day, I have to warm up and I want to exercise and catering and blah, blah, blah. But it's like there were some times where it's like we would have openers only for one or two shows. You know, it's like, hey, we only have the Ava Brothers for just this weekend or Old Crow or Turnpike or whoever. So I'm like, I'm definitely checking that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also going to other shows, too, just differently, I think is good for your brain. You know, it also kind of puts you in the perspective of the consumer. Mm-hmm. What does it take to get a beer there? What does it take to get a ticket and hotel and what, you know? So it kind of like when I'm on stage, I think about that. I'm like, these people are spending a lot of time and energy and are getting the hotel room to come to the show. This is their, you know, instead of going to Mexico or whatever, they're coming to the Luke show. So it's like, hey, don't fuck up.
It's their vacation.
Play good. Yeah.
They put in a couple weeks worth of work to get to come enjoy that weekend, you know?
Yep. Man, so. That's for me, like that's where it all started was collecting my friends and finding who liked what I liked and then go chasing and showing people who Riley Green was my friends, you know?
Yep.
And there's bonds that are made. It's shared experiences like that that you can't make anywhere else. You know, that's the power of music.
I remember we opened for Riley Green one time, and I think it was we were playing. He was opening for somebody else, and it was like the middle of July, and there was like 20 people there between the two of us. Like it was hot, 100 degrees, and it's just crazy to even see like some of these people just explode, you know?
To the moon, baby. It happens.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. It's real, you know?
I hear it happens all the time. It does.
Yeah.
It's a place to be for it.
Gotta have those songs lined up or whatever it is.
The moments, man. It's we talk about this like on previous pod today. It's just getting to capture those moments. And I mean, think about Riley Green. That's what it was. A video of Grandpa's Never Die popping off and, you know, Barry, me, and Dixie maybe getting him in a little bit of trouble, you know? Yeah. But like, it's just
getting him in trouble?
Oh, it was back in the day.
Well, because you can't, can you not say Dixie or something?
Who knows now? I don't know what's allowed. Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. but like, it's one of those things where it's like, whatever the moments are.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. You got to, it's almost like Kurt said, might as well be taking pictures and filming. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like, do I post that or does that just need to live with me, you know?
I've got so much on my phone of the early days and current days, I'll never post.
Yeah. But that's part of the fun of it, man, is like just having those shared experiences with your friends. And now you get to have those shared experiences with freaking actual fans, which is sick.
Yeah, no, it's kind of cool when you show up somewhere you've never been and they're like, they know that song or, you know, or they had a clue who we were. Yeah, so it's kind of cool. So
sick.
And that's what's cool about getting to open shows. I mean, you get in front of a lot of people that, you know, they didn't know you, but they come up and buy a shirt or check out your music or come do another show 4 hours away, you know, when you're headlining and they're one of the 200 people that came. You know, it's cool, you know?
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, so.
You made a connection with your music. So those people, for them to give up their weekend to come see you.
And it never connects with people how you think it's going to connect. Like what they love about it or why it means something to them is like never what I would have.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a different story. So.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, thanks for coming on and hang with us, man.
Yeah. Thank y'all for having me.
Your voice is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can't wait to hear the new EP too, man.
Yeah. I'm excited to get on the road.
Is it cut already? Is it done?
Yeah. We got quite a bit of it done. So it's finishing up mixing.
We're
going
to listen to it here in a minute.
Yeah.
Once we are done recording. And I want to hear that Evan clip too.
Okay. Yeah. I'll pull it up.
Find it from the reserves.
Yeah.
It's probably in the iCloud, but it's on here.
Oh yeah.
We'll find it.
We'll do it off the pod, but
yeah,
that way we don't get Evan in trouble for anything dumb, you know?
Yeah.
But man, thanks so much for hopping on here and hanging with us.
Yeah, thank y'all for having me. This is cool. I enjoyed it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll see you in the front row.